good practicing Jews in the pews in the time of Jesus took their moral code from the book of Deuteronomy and mainly from the book of Leviticus. So the books that comprised the Torah, and they had their commandments in those books, the laws. There were 613 of them. I mean, I don't know how you remember them all, let alone live by them all. What a challenge. But 613. 248 of those commandments were what we would call positive commandments. So they would be beginning, you shall honour your mother and father, for example. That's a positive commandment. The other 365 were what we call negative commandments. Thou shalt not, or you shalt not. The positive commandments were known as high commandments, or heavy commandments, I should say. And the other 365, the negatives, were known as light commandments. Now, I've given you an example of the heavy. They were fairly serious things. The light commandments were primarily from the book of Leviticus, but they were things that we would say are a little bit silly at times, but we're not living in that culture, are we? An example would be that in Leviticus it says that if you come across a bird's nest, you may take the chicks that are in the nest, but you must not take the bird or the hen that is laying the eggs or that nurtures them, the mother, in other words. You must not take them. So they were very particular. They kind of drilled down into the lifestyle of the people. So when the Sadducees and the Pharisees, so the religious police and the lawyers, as it were, the moral police in community, they really lived by those rules, to the very letter of the law. So when they put the question to Jesus, what is the greatest of the 613, Jesus is a little tongue-in-cheek, I guess, but he's basically saying there are two. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with your whole being, heart, mind and soul, your whole being. And the second is love your neighbour as yourself. He does not separate them, because you cannot have one without the other. And you'll hear me say that a couple of times this morning. So it's not that he dispenses or discards the other commandments. He is saying to particularly the religious leaders, your focus must always be on God. Everything else is secondary. And if you love your neighbour, you are loving God. If you love God and disregard your neighbour, you are not loving God in truth. The two belong together. They are the same thing, but you can't have one without the other. That's what Jesus is saying. Examples in our own life in this day and age, it might be a bit more challenging for you, but in my life, I come across these examples all the time. People who put so much emphasis into loving God but disregarding their neighbour. I remember years ago, I was in a place and it was a Christmas mass, and quite often in our parishes we try to have an outdoor mass if we can, particularly for the kids and young families. In my parish or your parish, I do that in the grounds of Marist College. Note, advert here, 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, family mass down in the grounds. It's beautiful. But I do remember this priest there on this Christmas Eve Mass with kids doing what kids do when you're outside, just being kids. Wonderful. And he's there praying, the priest, we'll say. And then he stops and he says, will those parents please take control of those children? At the Christmas Eve Mass, when kids are being excited because Sandy's on his way, if they've been good, It was an unbelievable thing. It stays in my mind. So putting all your emphasis on being the holy, yet you're just disregarding the neighbour, the kids, the families. I mean, the noise of children in a church is a sign of life in a church. There's no need for criticism, ever, in my view. And that's just one simple example. Another more recent example for me would be that we have a family in this parish, a beautiful family, who've got young, very young children, four, that are not at school yet. And one of the parents has been diagnosed in a terrible medical situation. It's awful. And so I've said to a few people discreetly, I just want you to pray for, and I leave their name out, and to keep their privacy there. And I said, just please keep this family in your prayers. And one family that I had mentioned that to, they know this family. Not well, but they know them because they walk past their house to go home. Anyway, I've said, just keep this family in your prayers. So there's God keeping the prayer focused. Pray for them. They've got a bit of a struggle at the moment. The gentleman that I spoke to in the parish and said to them, pray for this family, he walks past their house and then comes back the next day and mows all the lawns at the front of their house. Now, you might think, oh, good on him, but that's fine. But that is prayer in action. That is loving God and loving neighbour. In your own life and in my own life, I need to really try to get that balance right. If we put all of the focus in one area and disregard the other, then we haven't got that balance right. They are the same thing, but you cannot have one of those commandments without the other. There are people I know who put all of their passion and their effort into saving the planet, stopping the ice from melting, which is a good thing, but that's all of their passion. And there is no godliness in their passion at all. It is a good thing that they are trying to do, but if God is not in it, it is lopsided. And that's all that Jesus is saying. It is up to us to bring God in very often when people get the balance out of whack. I mean, you are here this morning because you are demonstrating your love of God. One part of the Mass, where it comes to the sign of peace, is where we demonstrate love of neighbour. In our parish, we also do that right at the beginning. The commentators say, welcome those around you. Before COVID, it used to be quite noisy and a fair bit of movement, but COVID sort of just made us all nod, like those dogs that you get in your cars. So we've lost the ability, in one sense, to communicate the welcome the way that we used to. But we'll reinvent it and it'll come back. And there are ways that we need to sharpen our five senses, in my view anyway, to make sure that we really do show our demonstration of love of neighbour. And it doesn't have to be something that is self-promoting. That's not what we're talking about. It is simply keeping our eyes and our ears and our hearts open to those people that are around us, both inside the church and outside the church, and seeing if there is something that I can do to bring God and godliness into their life, to demonstrate that God is the centre of my life. I do not lock God in myself. I release God to the world. So where there is no love, for example, we try to plant the seed of love. And then, in return, we receive love. I love that saying, what goes round comes round. The way that we treat people is the way that we will be treated ourselves. And if we can publicly demonstrate in the things that we say and do that God is the centre of our life, and that when I exercise basic charity, I'm doing it because it is an exercise in love which I have received from God and I must pass it on. That's why it's called a commandment. Love God. Not look at God, but love God. And love your neighbour. Not gaze at your neighbour, not look at your neighbour, but love your neighbour. Bring that which is on the inside of each and every one of us, bring that forward in whatever way we can. I often talk about practical prayer. Now, I know there's the most horrific drama happening in Gaza at the moment, and what can I do? about that over here in the comfort of living in Pierce. Now, I can start my prayer there, but can I practically do anything to stop the pain? It is very difficult. And at the moment, there probably isn't a lot that I can practically do, but that doesn't stop me searching for ways. There may be people around that are connected by their family to those other families in Gaza and Israel, and there may be some way I can reach out. They haven't crossed my path yet. After Easter this year, I took 37 people, some from this parish, across to the Holy Land. We did not go to Gaza because there's not really any need for us to go there. But we went through all the other places where Jesus and the apostles walked. And now those people came back with an experience of Jerusalem that they've never had before, understanding just a little bit of what the drama there is like and how is it to live in the middle of that drama. And so they prayed, and they pray now for those people. What could they do practically? On Monday night, we all got together by Zoom, and we had about half an hour, 40 minutes of just little personal reflections of how do people feel after having been over there? How do you feel as a result of this? And then we had quiet time, and then we had some prayer. It just raises our awareness. Did it stop the bombs? Well, it hasn't yet. But does that stop us? Absolutely not. If we put God at the centre, then amazing things happen, and we have to be open to that. So once again, I say to you that the two commandments, love of God and love of neighbour, they're not the same thing. They are different. But you cannot have one without the other.